Not so much. All right. Good morning.
So I grew up in a house that was fairly conservative with the rules of what we were allowed to do and not allowed to do. And one of the things that my parents were really careful about is what kind of things we watched on TV. And so we had very strict rules of what things were appropriate for us to watch and what things weren't. And we were usually pretty good at obeying that. We found a lot of shows were rather cheesy and kind of ironic and funny, but they were safe to watch as a family. And one of the shows that we watched often was The Brady Bunch. How many of you guys watched The Brady Bunch? All right, we got multiple generations of this show because it was on for a long time. It was played on repeat on Nick at Night for a long time. And it's one of those things that when I think back in my childhood, it's very easy to come back to the theme song of The Brady Bunch. You guys know it too. Here's a story of a lovely lady. You know the story. And the story of a man named Brady who was raising three boys of his own. There were four men living all together, yet they were all alone. Till the one day when the lady met this fellow. And they knew that it was much more than a hunch that this group would somehow form a family. That's the way they all became the Brady Bunch. There you go. Thank you. So the Brady Bunch, group of different personalities, different life experiences, all kinds of craziness, and they get thrown together as this new family that's supposed to become this unified household. And in every single episode, we see major conflict, at least as far as TV drama is concerned. And by the end of the episode, magically, they've worked it all out, and they're back to a happy, unified family. And they deal with these conflicts, and they come together, and they bring it back together to be one household because they've chosen to be a household, even though they have so much different about them. Well, in Ephesians 2, God gives us the picture that we are to become his household. And it says, for through him, through Jesus, we both have access in one spirit to the Father. So you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God. Built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, Christ Jesus himself being the cornerstone, in whom the whole structure being joined together grows into a holy temple in the Lord. In him, you also are being built together into a dwelling place for God by the Spirit. He gives us this picture of the church as a household. And frankly, we're a little bit like the Brady Bunch. We come in with all of these crazy different stories and experiences and expectations of what life's supposed to look like, and we like it our way, and this is how my family does it, and we get all thrown together, and we're told, you're a household. And in that, sometimes there's great joy and celebration, and in that, sometimes there's some messy conflict. But because we're based on the foundation of Jesus, we have that commonality to choose in. And anytime you bring together a group of people, you're going to have these little household conflicts. Well, it says that the household was built on the foundations of the apostles. So today what we're going to do is we're going to be looking at the foundation of the apostles and what they have set up for us in this household. We're preaching through a series on our values at Crosspoint. And the value today that we're talking about is welcome home. How do we become a community of people that welcomes home? Not just welcoming home like, hey, welcome home, you're back from college, Rachel. Welcome home. We're glad you're here. We want to be a community that welcomes people home, welcomes people back. But also the community that welcomes the environment that God wants to set up for us as home here. How do we become those people? What are some of the characteristics of this early church household? Well, the early church is kind of like its own little Brady Bunch. And we're going to be looking at Acts 4 through 6 today. And it's several different stories of these individuals that are part of this household and how they interact together to shape this household of God. And so we've got the little symbols around to represent their little faces around the Brady Bunch here. And this is the early church. The early church, that's the way they became the early church. There's a reason I'm not on worship team. But But our first story, it actually reviews from last week. We talked about this already. This community of believers was founded by the filling of the Holy Spirit. Today is Pentecost Sunday, and around the world, Christians are celebrating the fact that the fulfillment of the promise that Jesus made his disciples has come true. That he promised when he ascended into heaven that he would send his Holy Spirit. And when the Holy Spirit came, that they would be empowered and filled to be on mission for him. And today is that day that we celebrate that remembrance. And as the people prayed, the place where they were meeting was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God boldly. This is the second filling that's mentioned in Acts. The first one in Pentecost is Acts chapter 2. And the community gets filled, they go out and preach, and thousands of people come to join the faith. This is a few chapters later in the story. Time has gone by. They've continued to share with new believers, and now the Holy Spirit falls on them again as they're unified together in prayer. A community that welcomes home must be filled with the Holy Spirit before anything happens. If we don't have that peace, we can't be a household. We can't be a family. Then it goes on. The believers were together in one heart and mind. No one claimed any of their possessions was their own, but they shared everything they had. The second characteristic of a family, of a community that welcomes home, is it's characterized by its unity, even in its diversity. This is thousands of people. This isn't five people who decided they really liked each other and got along great, and so they were going to do this life thing. Because it's easy to do that with people you really like and have a lot in common with. This was thousands of believers that have gathered together and said, we're choosing in. We're going to be of one heart, one mind. Everything I have is yours. If you need it, take it. If I'm in need, I know I can go to you and I can count on you. One mind, one heart, even in its diversity. Different cultures, different backgrounds, different genders, different ages, all unified together. With great power, the apostles continued to testify to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. And God's grace was so powerfully at work in them that there were no needy people among them. For from time to time, those who owned land or houses would sell them, and they brought the money from the sales and put it at the apostles' feet. And then it was distributed to anyone as they had need. Joseph, a Levite from Cyprus, whom the apostles called Barnabas, which is called means the son of encouragement, sold a field he owned and brought the money and put it at the apostles' feet. So the story goes on and it gives us a specific example. This happened many times that people would go out and they would say, I have extra, I don't need it, I'm going to sell it. I'm going to bring the money to the apostles who are working for God and for God's ministry and say, you know what to do with this, give it to whoever has need. And they would serve one another. Now, Barnabas, we see a lot again in the book of Acts. He goes on to be a great man of power and influence and ministering with Paul to extend the gospel around the world. But in this moment, he's a member of community that says, you have a need? Here you go. A community that welcomes home sacrifices to meet the needs of others. A community that welcomes home says, I'm not going to let somebody in my church have this need. I'm going to go ahead and meet that need because I can. A community that welcomes home says, my neighbors across the street, their car broke down and I know they don't have another one. I'm going to offer them rides to get them back and forth and see if I can work out. Maybe I've got a connection. Somebody can get them a car. A community that welcomes home makes sacrifices to meet the needs of those around them. Now, these are all very positive stories. But we know that in family and in household, not all of our stories are positive. And in the very next verse, we see this crazy story of somebody who wanted to get it, but missed it. They see that people are selling everything and they're bringing their money and it's meeting the needs of the community. But there was a man named Ananias. And together with his wife, Sapphira, they also sold a piece of property. And with his wife's full knowledge, he kept back part of the money for himself. But he brought the rest and he put it at the apostles' feet. Okay. So he sees all these other people doing this and he goes, I want in. You know why? Because I want praise for my name. I want my accolades. I want to be the one that met those needs. I can sell this property, but, you know, we really can't afford to sell this property, so we're just going to stick some of it in the pocket, and we're going to sell the property, and we're going to give the rest. But the problem was, he told the apostles that it was everything. And Peter says, Ananias, how is it that Satan has so filled your heart that you have lied to the Holy Spirit and have kept for yourself some of the money you received for the land? Didn't it all belong to you before it was sold? It was his, right? He could do whatever he wanted to with that property. After it was sold, wasn't all of the money at your disposal? What made you think of doing such a thing? You have not lied just to human beings, but to God. The thing is Ananias and Sapphira could have sold the land and could have said, we need half of this for us. We're going to donate the other half of it. And come to the apostles and donate what they gave and go away. They were under no mandate to sell everything. The Lord didn't say, you must have nothing. This was something that they chose to do. But they presented it to the apostles as if they had given everything because they wanted the accolades. Look at Ananias and Sapphira. Look at them. They gave everything. Oh, they're such good people. But instead, they lied to their community. And it's a really interesting story because we want so often to focus on the grace and the love of community. But in this case, the grace and the love that the Lord has for this community is he deals harshly with this couple. Ananias falls dead at the correction of the apostles. You have not just lied to this community, you've lied to the Holy Spirit, and boom, he's dead. And they drag him out and they bury him. A few hours later, his wife comes in. And so Peter asks, was this amount the price that you got for the land, the amount that they donated? And she says, yes, that's exactly what we got. We donated it all. And Peter says, oh, you too have lied to your community and to God. And you'll suffer the same fate as your husband. And she dies, and she's buried. Now, in the midst of these really positive stories of what's going on in the church community, how come this negative example is in here? And how come the Lord deals so harshly with this couple? This group was forming the foundation of the church for the rest of existence. The Lord was calling them in to be the example for the church of Jesus to follow forever. And in this case, his justice and his love demanded correction that was harsh and said, you can't do this in community. Because a community that welcomes home has to be one that's formed on trust. And if you can't trust your community, you can't be community. We have to be able to be willing and vulnerable with each other. Ananias and Sapphira could have come to their community and said, you know, we're really scared right now about our finances, so we can only give this much. And instead of looking for the accolades, come with the vulnerability. And the story would have been different. But a community that welcomes home must be characterized with integrity and with trust. And the Lord provides this strong correction. And it says that fear spread throughout all of them. Now, in some cases, I'm sure this was a fear, like a quaking, like, oh, I don't know if I want to do this. But there's also the fear that brings the awe and the respect that goes, you know what? God actually means this. And we had Barnabas that sold it all, and it was a good thing. And we had Ananias and Sapphira that lied to their community. It was a bad thing. And you see the positive and the negative example that lead us to the truth of God values this trust and integrity piece. He wants us to sacrifice and care for the needs of others, but he wants us to be honest about where we're at. And that's part of what it takes to welcome home. is to be this community of integrity and trust. Well, despite the fear that went across the entire region, Acts 5 moves on and it says, nevertheless, more and more men and women believed in the Lord and were added to their number. So the church continued to grow, even though this couple dropped dead in the correction of the Lord. And the church grows. And as a result, not only do the believers inside the church group grow, but people start bringing their sick out to lay them in places where Peter and the apostles might walk by them. Because if their shadow touches them, perhaps they'll receive a touch of the Lord and receive healing. Now, what kind of anointing is that? That you are so walking in the community with the Lord and with the Holy Spirit and what he's doing that your shadow brings people to healing. You don't even have to pray for them. They just have to be close enough that the sun bounces off of you. That's some good Holy Spirit there. A community that welcomes home has to be a place that welcomes the outsider and has to be a place that creates an environment that brings people to healing. If we're staying connected with the Holy Spirit ourselves, we stay connected to what he's doing and how he wants to touch the lives of the outsider, it allows them to encounter his love, whether that's in physical healing or in welcoming into the fold to be part of welcoming home. Have to be open to what's going on in those around us. Now, people are getting healed by shadows. High priests, the religious leaders, they're not real big fans of this movement. They're uncomfortable with this group of people. And the high priest and all of his associates who are members of the party of the Sadducees, we talked about them last week as well, they were filled with jealousy. Because people aren't coming and joining the religious leaders. They're coming and joining this misfit group of people who's decided to be a family. And they arrested the apostles and they put them in the public jail. But during the night, the angel of the Lord opened the doors of the jail and brought them out. It's quite the prison break. Have an angel show up and go ahead, you're free to go. And they immediately follow the directions of the angel, go stand in the temple courts and tell the people about this new life. They were arrested for telling people about Jesus. The angel of the Lord comes, unlocks the door and says, go tell people about Jesus. And they immediately do. And they go back out. And the story goes on as they have this run-in with the Sadducees. They go to the jail. They can't find them. They're freaking out. They don't know what happened to these people. They go and they find them in the temple courts preaching again about Jesus. And they confront them. And they tell them, you can't do this. And Peter and the other apostles say, no, we have to obey God. He's the one that gave us this mandate. We must share about what he's telling us. And we will continue to preach. And we go to the end of this section. And they called the apostles in. And they beat them. They had them flogged. And then they ordered them not to speak in the name of Jesus anymore. The apostles left the Sanhedrin rejoicing because they had been counted worthy of suffering, disgrace for the name. They've been jailed, set free by an angel, physically beaten, and they rejoice that they were worthy of suffering. Now, I don't know about you, but in most cases, I think if I was arrested for doing something, I'm going to be a little bit more cautious about going and doing that immediate thing. If I get arrested for speeding, I'm not going to speed again. But these guys get arrested, and they go immediately and do it again. They get physically beaten and immediately go back and do it again. And it says, day after day in the temple courts and from house to house, they never stopped teaching and proclaiming the good news that Jesus is the Messiah. It didn't stop them. Because a community that welcomes home knows that there is joy even in the midst of suffering. And when you are rejoicing at being counted worthy of the name and encouraging one another, there is joy in the midst of the pain. There's joy in the midst of the loss. There's joy in the threat of danger. Because as a community, we are counted worthy of the name. We move on. New story. New part of the Brady Bunch. The days were going on, and the numbers of disciples were growing and growing. And there were two groups of Jewish believers at this point. There were the Hebrew Jews and the Greek Jews. And they were coming together as disciples of Jesus. And they were united together. And one of the things that happened was the leaders, the religious leaders, were also in charge of the physical needs of widows and orphans in the community. And in Acts chapter 6, we see that there is a complaint. And the people come to the apostles, to the leaders, and say, "This isn't right. It's not fair. The Hebrew Jews are getting better care than the Greek Jews. And our widows are being overlooked, specifically in the area of food distribution. So our widows are going hungry and your widows are well fed. This isn't right. We are so upset with you." And they come and they confront them. They're complaining and it's a conflict. They're trying to do the right thing, but there's an error. And somehow this isn't working out fairly. And this distribution isn't working well. And the leadership gathers together. And they gather all the disciples together. And they say, "It wouldn't be right for us to neglect the ministry of the word of God in order to wait on tables." So they're saying, "We can't right now leave what we're doing to go physically be the ones to give out this food. That's not our mission and our assignment from the Lord right now. But we can't let this happen. We can't just ignore this conflict and say, well, our people are being fed, so it's okay. We have to deal with this." And so they say, "Brothers and sisters, choose 7 men from among you who are known to be full of the Spirit and wisdom. We will turn this responsibility over to them, and we'll give our attention to the prayer and ministry of the word." And so they acknowledge the conflict, they acknowledge the complaint, and they say, "You're right. It's not right. So we are going to find Holy Spirit-filled people who are going to minister with wisdom in this area. And they're going to fix this issue. They're going to take care of both of you equally. We're going to acknowledge it. And we're going to fix it." A community that welcomes home has to honor in the midst of conflict. See, these apostles could have just said, "You know what? It's not my problem. I got to go preach. You know, fix it yourself. Out of here. I got stuff to do." They could have just said, "Okay, well, you fix it. You found the problem, fix it, make it better." And so they say, "No, all right, Lord, what do you want to do about this conflict? Okay, we need people in leadership over this area. We're going to pray. We're not just going to pick random people out of the crowd. We're going to pray and we're going to find these 7 people that are known to be full of the Spirit and wisdom, and we'll turn it over to them, and this problem will be fixed." How do we honor in the midst of conflict? Families fight. We mess up. We overlook things that we think are taken care of and then find out that it's not working. As a community that welcomes home, we have to be willing to say hard things to each other. We have to be willing to say, "You think this is working, but it's not. We have to fix this." And then we honor one another by listening to those conflicts, by praying and listening to the Lord, by reassigning leadership where it's necessary, by calling men and women that are filled with the power of the Holy Spirit to meet the needs of our people, both in the church and in the community. That's what a community that welcomes home has to do. And it's hard. And it's messy. And it might feel like a distraction. But it's part of valuing people. We have to honor them in the midst of conflict. Well, this proposal for these 7 men pleased the people. They chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Spirit, and Philip, Prochorus, Nicanor, Timon, Parmenas, and Nicholas from Antioch, a convert to Judaism. They presented these men to the apostles, who prayed and laid their hands on them. So they call out these 7 guys. They describe, the language goes on, these are the first deacons of the church, of the early church. And they were assigned to caring and meeting the needs of the people. That was their ministry. That was their calling and their assignment. and the apostles pray over them and bless them into that assignment. And the word of God spread. The numbers of disciples in Jerusalem increased rapidly, and a large number of priests became obedient to the faith. Now Stephen, a man full of God's grace and power, performed great wonders and signs among the people. As a man who was described as waiting tables. His job was to oversee feeding widows, but he did so as a man of great wisdom and power. And God performed miracles through him as he met this need. A community that welcomes home recognizes and blesses the call of God on others. It's part of why we called Jeff up today. And Jeff, we bless you to grad school. And we recognize what God is doing in your life, and we send you out blessed to do what God has called you to do. We recognize that there are needs in our community. There are needs in our church, and we recognize the calling of God to bless through you. And whether that need be the grass needs mowed, or that need be taking care of our finances, or that need be going out and ministering under the bridge, or that need be anything else in our community, we recognize the call of God on one another, and we bless people to serve well as a community that welcomes home. And the people serve in a variety of roles in connection with their anointing. How do we know that they were connected to their anointing? Because he was full of God's grace and power. It doesn't matter what you are doing, the action. If God has called you to that spot and you are staying connected with him and you are seeing his grace and his power at work, you are serving in his anointing. You can be the most anointed vacuum runner ever because you're walking connected with the Holy Spirit and you're serving community in love. A community that welcomes home recognizes and blesses the calling of God on others. The Brady Bunch. The early church. They're filled with the Holy Spirit, first and foremost. They're united in heart. They sacrifice to meet the needs of others. They valued integrity above all else. They welcomed and healed. They suffered with joy. They honored in conflict. And they served with anointing. Anytime you bring a group of people together who doesn't have a ton in common, who have different expectations of what life should be like, different backgrounds, different experiences, positive and negative, it can get messy at times. But at Crosspoint, we want these things to describe us. That these are not just the characteristics of seen in the early church, but that we, united as a household of God, would build on the foundation that the early church laid for us and for this example that was laid out in the book of Acts. For this to be what we look like. It involves choosing in, to be a part of the community that welcomes home. A community that grows in trust with one another as we work through these little conflicts and little joys. And become more and more united in one heart and one mind. Welcome home is one of our core values at Crosspoint. To be a community of vulnerable trust and diversity. We host others wherever we may find ourselves, creating a family environment where all kinds of people belong. Do your neighbors even know your name? Can we create a home where they know us and they feel like family? We demonstrate the importance of relationships with respect, reliance, and responsibility. When we have needs, we can be vulnerable about it. We can share those needs, and we can trust that our community will care for us in it. We're reliant on each other. We know there's a sense of responsibility and care for one another because we value each other and we want to be united together. We share meals together, especially the Lord's Supper, which we're going to do today, but also meals in our home, grilling out hot dogs and hamburgers at the park, sharing life together. We value and celebrate a rich mosaic of diversity and unity, being of one heart and mind while recognizing our unique design in differing backgrounds, generations, and graces. We all come from different places and we're all gifted for different things. But if we come together as a community on mission together, each one of us is important and valued for what we bring to the table. And we work through the differences and we come to a place back of unity. And we welcome home prodigals, the irreligious and the religious alike. People that have distanced themselves and have said, I'm not a part of this. And we say, okay, but when you're ready, we still welcome you home. This is the community we want to be. At the end of the day, the Brady Bunch worked because they chose to be a family. They chose to fight through. They chose in. The early church worked because they chose to keep Jesus as their cornerstone. They chose to be formed into this household. So now the choice is up to us. Now what? We are seeking to become a community of hope that welcomes home. But as we do so, we have to ask the hard questions internally first. Which aspects of this community life are missing from my own life? Which of these things aren't true for me? Maybe I'm not being vulnerable and trusting. Maybe I'm not recognizing the calling of other people because I'm focused on my own. Maybe I'm not taking the time to be filled with the Holy Spirit, so I'm trying to do things in my own strength. So today I challenge you to ask and ask the Lord, what areas do you need more Holy Spirit filling so that you can be a member of the household, of the community that welcomes home? So that's the internal. And then we have to think corporately. What do we need to shift as a group? What needs to shift in our thinking from being a Sunday gathering of people who really like each other? Or at least I like this people and some of these other people. To being a unified household that welcomes both those that are sitting next to you today. Look at them. Look at them. Look at them. Okay, good. And also those in our neighborhoods. To invite people in to experience Jesus, in whom the whole structure being joined together grows into a holy temple in the Lord. Back to that Ephesians 2 passage. This picture that we're given of what the church looks like.
Crosspoint Alliance Church is a Christ-centered Acts 1-8 family. Our hope is that you heard from God today. You can be part of the Crosspoint family by praying for this ministry. You can write or send your donation to Crosspoint Alliance Church, P.O. Box 681552, Charlotte, North Carolina 28216. Or go to www.crosspointclt.org. Thanks again for joining us. And come back next week for another edition of the Crosspoint Podcast.